Turn together this morning to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, as we are called of God to come before Him, despite of the difficulties and tribulations of our lives, to express our thanksgiving, trusting in Him as the only giver of that which is good, of true life. Psalm 34, we turn our attention now to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Hear with faith. A psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray together. Almighty Triune God, as we once again come before Your majestic presence as Your people, seeking Your instruction, and as a special day, O Lord, when we are called to particularly approach You with thanksgiving, Lord, we pray that You would bless the preaching and the hearing of Your Word. May it, O Lord, indeed incite us to true thanksgiving today. May it remind us, O Lord, of the many blessings, of the many redemptive and glorious blessings that You have bestowed upon Your people. May it indeed, O Lord, more than good food, more than prosperous days, may it indeed, Your glorious salvation, lead us to rejoice in You with thanksgiving, not only today, but into the rest of our days and into eternity. Be with us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanksgiving is indeed a day of tasting and seeing, isn't it? Perhaps you left your home already tasting through your smelling the good food that is warming up in the kitchen. It is a day when we sit around the tables and our taste is filled with the flavor of good and delightful food, with the bountiful dishes that the Lord places before us. It is also a day of seeing, isn't it? It is a day not only when we see the bounty of the Lord present before us, but it's also the day when we see beloved members of family and friends gathering together, rejoicing around the table. And you see, as we think about tasting and seeing, we notice that that's not only a theme of Thanksgiving, but it's the theme of the Christian life. In Psalm 34, we are called to taste and to see that the Lord is good. And we are called to taste and see that the Lord is good at all times. There's not a single time when the Lord is not good. There's not a single time when His providence and care towards us is tasteless. There is not a single day at all times, says the psalmist, you can taste and see how the Lord is good. And beloved brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, if that's not the reason of our thanksgiving this morning, then there is no thanksgiving at all. If we sit here together praising God Almighty and our thanksgiving is limited to the blessings and bounties of our great God Almighty in heaven towards us, in that which is material, in that which is intellectual, in that which is perishing with this time, then there's no thanksgiving at all. And Psalm 34 helps us to see this morning. It helps us to remind us that true thanksgiving is rooted in tasting and in seeing that the Lord is good. And oh, Christian, you have tasted and you have seen that the Lord is good. Especially when you look to the cross. Especially when you look to the Lamb of God who was crucified. In Him indeed, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. And therefore, as we turn together to Psalm 34 this morning, this is what we ought to have clear in our minds. Here's the teaching of this psalm. That Yahweh's deliverance is the ground of our thankfulness. We taste and we see that the Lord is good when we experience His deliverance. Yahweh's deliverance is the ground of our thankfulness, and we are called to express this thankfulness in all our lives. This is what you need to learn this morning. Yahweh deliverance, Christian, is your ground for thanksgiving. And you are called to express it, to express this thanksgiving in all your life. We consider the psalm today in under two headings. First, we'll see that our thankfulness is grounded in Yahweh's deliverance. We see that in verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10 teaches us that that's the ground of our gratitude. The ground of our thankfulness is Yahweh's deliverance. But second, we also learn that our thankfulness is expressed in newness of life. We see that in verses 11 through 22. 11 to 22, our thankfulness is expressed in newness of life. Yahweh's deliverance is the ground of our thankfulness, and we are called to express it with all our lives. Verses 1 through 3, we have this invitation to join the psalmist in praise, don't we? In these verses, the psalmist tells us that he is determined to praise Yahweh continually. It is at all times. It's not at some times. It's not in most of the times. But it's at all times, says the psalmist. This praise is public. Look again at verse 1. He says, I will continually with my mouth. This is a public, out loud praise and thanksgiving, an expression of thanksgiving to Yahweh. The psalmist is really satisfied with all the bounty, with all the protection, with all the care that Yahweh has placed upon him. And his expectation is that this thanksgiving will be contagious. He expects that his thanksgiving, that his burst in praise to Yahweh will infect others. Look at verse 2. He says, the humble shall hear it and he will be glad. And in verse 3, he calls others saying, oh, magnify with me and let us exalt his name together. Thankfulness is supposed to be contagious. It's supposed to infect others and bring others. Now, why is he delighting in the Lord. Why there is so much gratitude, so much thankfulness in his heart. And the reason you find in verses 4 through 7, deliverance. Deliverance. And that's where the title of the psalm, which is also the inspired word of God, comes to us as a great aid. In the psalm, in the title of the psalm, we are reminded the occasion in which this psalm was written. And I trust you do remember the situation. David is under persecution. Saul wants to kill him. He is far from friends and family. And he's far even from his own nation. He is an alienation among the pagans, among Abimelech. And as he approaches that situation of threat, of danger, oppression, he is forced to pretend madness. The holy text in the narrative in the Old Testament tells us that in this faking of his, David would drool, he would spit all over himself, pretending to be mad. That's the circumstance in which this psalm is given. And verses 4 through 7 tells us that it's precisely in that circumstance of oppression, persecution, and much sadness, if you will, being far from his own land and persecuted by his own king, that he says, "The Lord hears me." Verse 4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears." Now, the word fear here is very telling. It really could be translated as oppression, as dread, as things that are terrifying. Are you terrified of anything? Boys and girls, are you afraid of anything? Are you afraid of the dark? Well, the psalmist is saying that in this moment of fear, that in this moment of dread, when terror came upon him, he was delivered by the hands of the covenantal Lord. And again, please notice how indeed it is the work of the covenantal Lord that is pulverized throughout the whole psalm. All the citations, all the uses of the name of Yahweh, of the name of God, is precisely his covenantal name. From verse 1 all the way to verse 22, you notice that it's Yahweh. It is the Lord, all letters capitalized. It is the God of the covenant, the God who has a special relationship with me, the God who he himself promised that he would take care of me, that he would make a me, in the case of David, to reign forever in the throne of Israel. It is this God that is delivering him. Now, his deliverance is also corporate. Corporate. It involves not only himself, but is extended to all the people. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 is a description of himself. "This poor man," he says, "me. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from his troubles." But look at verse 5. It says, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed." The deliverance from Yahweh is not only for David alone, but from David, from that humble man, it now expresses, it expandeth unto all those who are with him. Now, if there is one who indeed saw a lot of dead bodies, crushed bones, was David, wasn't he? He himself being one who crushed bones in battle? Or he seeing the crushed bones on the floor, on the ground, of his fellow Israelite brothers who fought alongside him against the Philistines? But at the same time, David, in the midst of all these crushed bones, he also saw the magnificent deliverance of Yahweh. And they now are like these who were delivered are like Moses, remember? Remember when Moses would come down from the mountain with his face radiant so that he had to wear a veil? That's precisely the very same word and the very same idea that is present here in verse 5. It's an indication of the nearness of God, of how the Lord is really protecting them, close to them, delivering them. Their faces are radiant, just as Moses' face was radiant because of the power of God that is manifested upon them through His deliverance. Now, who is operating this deliverance? Look at verse 7. The angel of Yahweh. Now, I trust you do remember that throughout the Old Testament, the angel of Yahweh is frequently used and cited in crucial moments of the life of God's people. Coming to them, appearing before them, guiding them into battle, fighting their battles for Him. The angel of the Lord is considered by several Reformed theologians as one of those pre-apparitions of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, in the Old Dispensation. The angel of the Lord is one who is actively surrounding His people. Verse 7 tells us that He encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. The deliverance of Yahweh is worked through the work of His angel. The effectiveness, the power in which this deliverance is then conquered is because of the sword and the strength and the might and the courage and the bravery of His blessed angel who surrounds His people. It is dressed with all this gratitude for deliverance that in verses 8 through 10, you have this second call. Come and taste. Come and see that Yahweh is good. Come and trust in Him. Come and fear Him. Notice that this is a call extended to the saints. Verse 9, fear the Lord, O you saints, for even the young lions cannot be compared to you. I don't know if you have ever seen a young lion hunting. Perhaps you have seen one of those documentaries or National Geographic videos that gives you a view, gives you an idea of what it looks like for animals to be hunting in the jungle. And one of the most difficult enemies to escape from is a young lion. Full of vigor, full of life, full of strength, full of anger and hunger. The young lion may lack what to eat. His endeavor to fight and to capture his prey not always prosper. But verse 10 says, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now the word good here should really capture our attention, because here's the word tov or tova. And it means all possible good, all really things that are really good. It means that which is truly fulfilling. That is the good that never lacks for those who fear Yahweh. And that's what fuels the thanksgiving of the divine writer. Christian, this is the same call for you this morning. Yahweh is issuing the very same call to you to approach Him with gratitude and thanksgiving today. Regardless of how your table looks like, regardless of how your family looks like, regardless how your work life looks like, the Lord is calling you today through Psalm 34 to bless Him all the times. For you who have come to Christ, you have experienced indeed the deliverance of Yahweh. This is what the psalm is all about. David is not simply locally calling that moment of deliverance in which he escaped from the hands of Abimelech as the real reason why he is writing this message. The word tov here, the word experience that which is good, cannot be fulfilled only in that specific historical situation. You see, in the minds of David, as an inspired writer, he's pointing us to the whole redemptive work of your covenantal God. And where do you experience that the most? Where deliverance from your sin was accomplished. Where deliverance for your soul has been conquered. Where forgiveness for your sins has been granted unto you. Isn't that at a cross? Isn't that through the angel of the Lord who took upon himself flesh and lived that sinless life and died an unjust death so that you, Christian, would be delivered ultimately from all judgment and condemnation and brought unto true salvation before Yahweh? This psalm is about you. This psalm is about the thanksgiving that you are to render to the Lord. Regardless of the state of your soul this morning, regardless of the state of your life this morning, if you are in Christ, regardless of your circumstances, you are called to taste and see of God's deliverance as you look back to the cross. So look back to the cross. So look back to Christ. Perhaps you sit here this morning and you're thinking, there's no reason for me to be thankful today. And the Lord says, you are wrong, my child. You are wrong. The reason why you should be thankful today is because I delivered you. I delivered you from your sin. I delivered you from your hell. I delivered you from your condemnation. I delivered you from your own perdition and brought you to Christ. Oh, be thankful today. Be thankful always and to the end of the ages. And with your thankfulness, infect those who surround you. Infect those who surround you. That's exactly another implication of these verses, isn't it? The very same desire of the psalmist should be our desire, shouldn't it? That as we gather together around our table, we are to bless one another. We are to encourage one another to be thankful for the very same reason. Yes, if we sit here today and we would count all the blessings that the Lord has delivered unto us from November last year to this November, we would probably spend another year just counting all the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And they're all great, and they're all fantastic, they're all wonderful. But here's the word of thanksgiving that ought to be in our lips, that ought to populate the conversations around our table, that Christ has delivered us. Yes, let us talk about all the material blessings the Lord has been giving us. How bountiful the crops have been this year. Perhaps what a great promotion you have received. Or your graduation that took place or is approaching. Or perhaps your marriage that you're celebrating is coming close. And these are all great things that we rejoice in. But they can all go. They may not exist. But here is what stays. Your salvation in Christ. Your deliverance. Your Savior, the angel of the Lord, He never departs from you. That's your thanksgiving. Remember that, Christian. That's your thanksgiving. Health may go. Riches may go. But our life is with Christ. Our deliverance with Christ. And therefore, let us spread this around. As we sit around the table, as we spend time with our families, and as we live our lives, you see, this spirit of thanksgiving is not restricted to one day only, but it's a call to be thankful always, in all days, in all times. And therefore, when sadness comes and those difficult days hit our calendar, let us be reminded, I will bless the Lord at all times, for He has delivered me from all my fears. And that never changes. That never changes. The world may explode in wars. Earthquakes may destroy cities. Meteors may be approaching planet Earth. And this is the one thing that will never change. The deliverance has been conquered for you. The ground of our gratitude, our thanksgiving is grounded in Yahweh's deliverance. Let us be reminded of that this morning. But let us also respond to this gratitude. Let us have this thankfulness move us to newness of life. If we are truly thankful, if this thankfulness that is in the heart of the psalmist is always also present in our own souls. Let us also be moved to a response of thankfulness. And that's what we see now in the remainder of the psalm, the second half of the psalm. For in verses 11 to 21, we see here at least two calls in which we are to engage ourselves, those who are thankful. Now, this connection we see clearly in verses 11 and 12. Notice in verse 9, there is this call to trust the Lord. You see that? Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. So there is this command, there is this call. Join me in my thankfulness and gratitude to the Lord and fear Him. Well, how are we going to do that? Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It seems that the psalmist, you see, is foreseeing that one who is reading verses 1 through 10 will reach this question. Yes, David, you have persuaded me. The proclamation of the gospel through your lips has brought me to thankfulness. And now I desire out of this thanksgiving spirit that is dominating me, this divine presence that is leading me to thankfulness, I want to fear the Lord. How am I going to do that? And then it says, come to me. The expression, you children, here is not simply a reference to you children. It is a reference to you. But here, David is using a metaphor to talk about or to talk to those who are less experienced, who are walking now into this life of gratitude and thanksgiving. It is really a call to those who are immature and who need instruction. Come to me. Yes, that involves children, but that involves all of us. We're all needy of instruction, aren't we? And He will teach us how to fear the Lord. He will teach us how to express this thankfulness in our lives. And the first thing that we notice, the first way in which that is expressed in verses 13 and 14, is in our deeds and the way we live. Now, when we come to our deeds, one aspect of our life is immediately changed. It's our lips. Look at verse 13. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So the first way in which that thankful soul expresses thankfulness is not simply cooking a nice meal, but it is controlling his mouth. It is through the power of the Spirit who now dwells in him, he has a change in the speech pattern. His mouth now, go back to verses 1, 2, and 3, is destined, his mouth now is designated to bless the Lord at all times. So grumbling is abandoned. Maligning is abandoned. Words of ingratitude are abandoned. All that is ungodly that could affect one's tongue is abandoned and mortified so that in thanksgiving, he will express to the Lord with lips the thanksgiving of his heart. Now, you probably have experienced this in a different way. Now, boys and girls, I'm sure that you have in the past, or perhaps you are waiting for this coming Christmas, for that great present, for that gift, perhaps a specific toy that you are waiting to find somewhere in the house. And when you finally find that, isn't that all you talk about for the next month? Isn't that all that you talk about? Have you seen this toy? Have you checked what he does? You see, a thankful heart is excited with the gift it receives, and all it does is to speak about it. I know that 1 month later, you don't even remember the toy anymore, perhaps 2 months. But there's no way a lip can be shut when it experiences God's deliverance in Christ, can it? When one experiences the taste and one sees the cross of Christ, his lips are changed. Christ the King dominates his tongue. This is the subject he wants to talk about. This is the name he wants to cry out. That's a response of thanksgiving. We don't waste our time with foolish conversations, but we use our very moments, every second of our lives to speak about Christ and to talk about Him. Our tongues are changed because of what we tasted. We tasted deliverance. So we can only speak about it. But not only the tongue is changed. Look again at verse 14 now. Depart from evil and do good. So the response of thanksgiving transforms my speech pattern, but it also transforms my deeds, what I do and how I do it. I do it now in light of the deliverance that I have received and in light of the thankfulness that my heart is filled with. Christians, let us respond to our thanksgiving in the same way. You see, the psalmist is reminding us this morning that thanksgiving is not simply a day for the Christian, but it's a lifestyle. Let me say this again. For you, Christian, thanksgiving is not a day. It's a lifestyle. Thanksgiving transforms your life because of the deliverance that you have received. It transforms your speech. Is that what is populating your mouth? Oh, Christian, you who have come to Christ, who have tasted of His goodness, who have been transformed by His Holy Spirit, you who have clung to the cross, is your mouth really stinging with the taste of this deliverance? Is this what you talk about? Is this what is present in your conversations that guide your words to others? Not only talking about Christ, but talking the way Christ talked. And is this thanksgiving that is marking your deeds, leading you to mortify all evil and pursue that which is good? That's the true reaction that a thanksgiving soul experiences. And he's motivated to do so. Verses 15 and 16 gives us the reasons. Give us motivations. Why we should pursue this if thanksgiving is not enough. Pursue these things, for the face of the Lord is always towards the righteous. He's always seeing you. He's always present with you. This deliverance that you have received is a necessary implication of Yahweh's continual work. The reason why you are to continually to bless the Lord and express thanksgiving is because the Lord is continually with His eyes upon you, not resting for a second. What a great encouragement that is. What a sweet encouragement to the mouth, isn't it? That His eyes are always upon us. But not the evil one. Not the wicked. The face of the Lord, says verse 16, is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You see, those who have experienced the deliverance of Yahweh will not pursue this path. For this is the path of perdition. For this is the path of destruction. For this is the path of remembrance, not unto salvation, but unto condemnation. And that's precisely of those who express through thanksgiving have been delivered from. They have been delivered from the path of destruction. The deeds of one who is thankful are to be transformed. But also the prayers of one who is filled with thanksgiving are to abound. That's the second aspect, the second area in the life of a believer that changes. You see, the deeds are focused in verses 13 and 14, but now 17 and 18 tells us of this prayer life, of this desire to be with the Lord, to talk to Him, to speak to Him, to bring unto Him our petitions and thanksgiving. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their trouble. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Can you taste the sweetness? Can you see the good? Oh, you who are filled with thanksgiving this morning, be reminded of these words. That in your cries, that in your prayers, the great encouragement for you to persevere in them is precisely because of the nearness of God. Our thanksgiving, which leads us to a prayer life, to a life of seeking communion with the Lord, is encouraged as we are assured that He is near us. That's part of the deliverance. You see, the Lord does not simply deliver us to cast us aside. Now you live on your own. Now you can walk with your own legs. No, He delivers us and He continues to hold us and to move us through this world until we go through the road of existence here unto the roads of gold of heaven. A thankful soul perseveres in prayer. A thankful soul has this transformation of speech and actions. But a thankful soul desires to be close to Him who delivered him. Are you thankful today? For what are you thankful? Are you thankful for the many blessings that the Lord has been placing upon your life? Marriage is going well. You have children coming, or they are already surrounding you. Business is doing fantastic. Or these are reasons that are supporting your thankfulness this morning. You will know what's fueling your thankful this morning through your prayer life. If you are someone whose thankfulness and gratitude is rooted in Yahweh's redemption, then you will not avoid, you cannot avoid to desire to be close to Him. That's what a thankful soul desires. That's what a thankful soul for God's deliverance, for Yahweh's deliverance through His angel is thirsting and hungering for, is to commune with our God, is to spend time in His presence, is to seek His face in private, in public prayer, in prayer with the family, is to seek Him. Is there true thankfulness in your heart this morning? Here's the reason why we should persevere in prayer. That's really the rest, the remainder of the psalm. The reason why this transformation in deeds, this perseverance in prayer ought to be a present, a constant in our lives is because of God's covenantal deliverance that never stops. Verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. But the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." You see, as we come to the conclusion of the psalm, we are reminded that this thanksgiving is not simply because of that local historical deliverance from the hands of Abimelech that David experienced. It is more than that. It is about unbroken bones and a soul that has been rescued. And you see the roads that David is paving for us? Can you see it? Can you see he paving the road for us to Golgotha? Right here in these verses? Or don't you remember that day? Don't you remember that day that darkness covered the earth? Don't you remember that day that earthquakes shook Jerusalem and its neighborhoods? Don't you remember that day when the dead came out of their tombs? Don't you remember that day when the soldiers were at the feet of the cross, breaking bones, and when they come to one, to the Son of God, they looked at him and they said, "That man is already dead." And they did not break their bones. They did not break his bones. Not one bone of his was broken. For you. And for you. David is here in verses 19 and 22, paving the road to the Golgotha, paving the road to the cross, so that we may now look at the cross and contemplate the one whose bones were not broken, so that we would indeed have our souls redeemed. He is bringing us to the feet of the cross, so that we may contemplate the angel of the Lord who took upon himself flesh and sacrificed himself once for all, so that we may indeed gather together today here in great and full thanksgiving and say, "Praised be Yahweh forever and ever. I will bless Yahweh at all times, for he whose bones were not broken, so that my soul would be redeemed from perdition." Perhaps you sit here tonight, this morning, and you have a broken heart. Is your heart broken? Is your spirit crushed? That's what the word contrite spirit in verse 19 could be translated as well. If you sit here today with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, walk on the road. Walk on the road. Go to the one whose bones were not broken, for sinners who repent. Go to the one who can fill your soul with thanksgiving. He will remove the shackles of brokenness of your soul. He will rescue and mend together your broken heart. And he will never break it. For he whose bones were not broken saves sinners from their sins and bestow upon them true redemption. He is the one that makes us taste and see that the Lord is good. Go to Christ. And may your thanksgiving be rooted in him. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your blessed word that reminds us this morning the root of our thanksgiving, the root of our forefathers' thanksgiving, the root of the patriarchs' thanksgiving, the root of the prophets' and the apostles' thanksgiving. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. O Lord, we rejoice in him. He who delivered your people from their sins. Jesus Christ the Lord, we rejoice in him. And then, O Lord, as we gather together with this thanksgiving heart for the many bounties and the marvelous gifts that you have bestowed upon us throughout our lives, and especially in these last days, Lord, may none of these things cast a shadow on he whose bones were not broken. And all, Lord, as we walked through that road that David paved for us, through the power of your Spirit, as you bring us to Golgotha, into the feet of the cross, may we delight in him who deliver us from all our enemies, who deliver us from sin, who deliver us from death and hell, who deliver us from the future wrath, and bring us to union with you. In his name, Lord, we pray.